They feel a calling and a stirring to go and further themselves in ministry, to go and prepare at Bethel, Redding, California. And I just think it's such a tribute and delight for this church to partner in sending them, seeing them go from this place, because I have no doubt God's got great plans. We love them and God's got great plans for their life. But we really know that there's something on their lives. We've seen it. We've recognized it. They've walked in a close relationship with eldership for many years. Didn't feel to come onto eldership at the time when we were in transition, but are just a delightful, faithful, salt of the earth family. And it's our privilege just to be praying with them, to send them with your love. They leave tomorrow. So Father, can you just reach out your hands, and we're going to call on the Father who looks on the harvest and answers our prayer to thrust out workers into His harvest field. And here's the answer to that prayer. Lord, as they go and prepare themselves, as they go and expose themselves to just such a supernatural ministry as is happening in Bethel, that their lives are going to be just so radically transformed. And that what's going to come out of them is going to be to the benefit of their children and children's children, to the next generation. Pray, Father, for guidance, protection, provision, wisdom, and health. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. See you for coffee. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, Jesus speaking to His disciples here, just about to ascend into heaven, and He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow. We have seen over decades and centuries and 2 millennia the outworking and fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made over those apostles. And at this stage, you don't hear anything about the church. You just see the mission. The church only happens about 2 chapters later. It was about 4 or 5 years chronologically, that the church came into being. So long before there was a church, before the church was constituted, and as a result of the revival and the result of the necessities and needs, and churches were formed and then planted and etc., the commission was given. And the church came to serve that mission. What kind of church do you want to be part of? If you're making notes, that would be kind of a heading. What kind of church do you want to be part of? Do you want to be part of a church that is an event, or do you want to be part of a church that's a force? Okay, let me explain that. Let me give you an illustration. Who knows where King's Park is in Durban? King's Park. Chad LaClos. Or Claire. LeClaire. Everyone goes down to King's Park and there's an event. My son used to swim there. In fact, he was like neck and neck with Chad when they were training at one stage. And the crowd was going wild. Go, rain, rain, rain. Who's this Chad guy beating? Okay. So you go to King's Park and you have an event. If you go to Westville Boys High swimming pool on a Tuesday night, there's not an event. Those same boys are in the water training. And they train, and they train, and they train from early hours in the morning. For like, some of those guys swim 6-7 hours a day. I mean, it's just incredible to believe that. But here you've got 2 different types of activity. One is an event, Everybody comes and spends. It's a wonderful activity. The other is same swimming pool. I mean, in a different location. But now it's training as a force. And that's kind of the choice we have when it comes to what kind of church we want to be part of. So, I'm not speaking here about an inward-looking group and an outward-looking group. That's not the comparison I'm making. Because both of these kind of churches are outward-looking. They're wanting to reach the lost. But the way they go about it is one operates as a gala event, and the other operates as a training force. What kind of church do you want to be part of? What kind of church? So let's look at the first one. Let's look at a church as an event to reach people with the gospel. Now, here we would say, how do we view Sundays? Is Sunday the day when it all happens? Glory to God. The saved get lost, healed. Sometimes the saved do get lost. I was trying to wax eloquently Pentecostal there, but it didn't work so well. But the deaf are seeing, and the blind are hearing, and the lame are speaking, and the... So we see that we can view Sunday as the day. Sunday is the day that it all happens. And it's an event, it's a gala. Now, if that is the kind of church we are, then the goals we have are going to be facility is everything, and budget is vital to that end. Attendance is the key indicator of how well we're doing. The response to the altar call is the ultimate criteria. And the kind of people we employ and who get involved, who get any kind of leadership, are event coordinators. They are Kings Park water specialists. They are Kings Park event organizer type of people. So that's the model we've got. Our time and talent get focused on this because this is the day. The big day is Sunday. Everything gears up to an event. The weakness of that kind of model is that, first of all, you can only have a limited amount of people involved. Because you can only have so many water attendants and so many event specialists. You can only have at one event. The other weakness of it is that as a church, you know, you can only have so many chiefs. And this, and if you've got a real calling, you can stand in line and maybe someone dies or something. You know, but there can only be so many people, with titles or whatever you want to call them, around a Sunday activity. There can only be one Russell Harris, did I see you? Hello, Russ and Ant. Welcome back from your wanderings. You know, there can only be one Russ. There can only be one coffee lady. There can only be one muso. Thank God. There can only be what? The pommies are taking over. But you get my drift. If it all centers around a gala event, then there can only be certain specialists. And another danger here is that it can quickly become a subculture. Speak our own language, only mix with each other. No, if we only with each other all the time. The other thing, that kind of church will get so many programs running to make this event work that we meeting ourselves to death. Meetings become the center busyness of our lives. Another weakness here would be institutionalism. What I mean by that is everything has to become centralized around the office. So, for example, when someone comes to you and they're in need of food, you will say, there's a system in place. Go to the administration. Because it all gets institutionalized in one group. It does sound a bit like our church. And I think that's my whole point this morning, Sweetie. You got my drift. Now we get a life group that comes along and says, we feel like collecting food for the poor. This is nice. Let's start collecting food for the poor. Take your money. Put groceries in a box. Another life group comes along and says, we want to put some blankets together, but how about we tap into some of those food parcels, collect them, and go and distribute them? Can you see the difference here? So this is no longer an institutionally bottlenecked. This is now a training force, not a gala. The danger with the model of being a gala event, church, a Sunday is the only thing, is that in the beginning, it can work very well when there's revival, and when there's awakening, and when there's the move of the Spirit. And that generation will thrive in it. I mean, all great denominational groups today and many other groups all started out of a place of revival and awakening. But then what happens is, as it goes to second, third generation, if that generation are not still pursuing the revival that started it, as Bill Johnson says, you move from a movement to a monument. A movement is growing and expanding. A monument is, now we need to have people to keep the monument polished and clean. So the next generation can come in and put up their hands to volunteer, but now it's not the ministry serving people, it's people serving a ministry. It's a very subtle change and a very dangerous change that has happened across movements, denominations. And that noise is going to irritate me so badly at some point, I'm going to... Okay, am I back? We do need to get this sorted out. And did anyone find the clicker? You know the little thing that I used to change slides? It was lying here, it went missing. It's the second time that's happened. Please give my clicker back. All right. So we're talking about what kind of church do you want? If it's an event, then it's okay while it's in revival, but it's not going to work if the next generation aren't birthed in that same revival. It's going to become institutional. Okay, I'm taking way too long on this point. But people are then needed to serve a ministry, and it's no longer a ministry serving people. It's a bit like an illustration of the guy standing on the corner with a guitar playing, and he's got a little baby gorilla dancing. And everyone's, oh, so cute, so cute. Oh, and they put money in the box. But then the gorilla grows up and keeps growing. And then when they come around the corner again, they see the gorilla standing on the corner taking up a collection, and there's a guitar sticking out the corner of his mouth. Now that's what happens when the ministry just keeps growing, 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 and then has to chew up people to get the job done. It can happen with a business. First, the business was there to serve you so you could serve the Lord, and then after a while, you just have to serve your businesses that you're master and Lord. That's what happens when a movement becomes a monument. What kind of church do you want to belong to? So let's look at the second event, swimming pool, which is not a gala event. Now we're talking about a training training force. Church is a training force. In this model, how do we view Sunday? We view Sunday as the place we did exactly what we did this morning. We just want to come and enjoy the glory of God. We want to come and just get into those, under the spout where the glory comes out. We want to just get into the river and swim. We want to just worship Jesus and have the gifts of the Spirit speaking life into the church, giving direction. We want to hear the gifts in operation. We want to get the Word of God built into our life. We want to have a time of equipping so that we can go out and minister Jesus to the needs around us. Two very different pictures of church. Now the church as an event, a gala, can happen every now and then as an outreach opportunity. But if our mindset in our corporate gathering and the reason we come to church and we have church and we're part of a church is for the event, then we're going to be disappointed. Okay, let me see some of you looking at me like you don't really believe me this morning. Let me contrast some of the goals of this type of church with those goals of the gala type of church. The goals of this church are, first of all, the maturity of the believers. Not so much reaching unsaved people on a Sunday. So Sunday is not so much seen as preaching the gospel to get an unsaved person saved, although there's nothing wrong with doing an altar call. Even if you speak about Humpty Dumpty, you can still give an invitation to people to find Christ. But that doesn't become the central focus. You don't speak to the few hundred the same message every week to get them to rededicate their life to Jesus. But we do throw out the net. But more important than what we get saved out of is what we get saved into is, do people get the gospel? That's the most important thing that could happen here on a Sunday. So the reason we'll have churches is for worship, so that we can mature and get grace, get the gospel, and then release people to minister. So those are the three key reasons for, or goals of this type of church. The type of church that is not an event, but a force, is coming together to encounter the presence, the glory, the beauty of Jesus, to grow into maturity around understanding this wonderful gospel of grace. So that means there's two important questions we have to keep affirming, keep focusing on, keep applying. Are you with me? I mean, am I with you? Two things. Can you get this? Number one, is Jesus being reproduced in our lives? What I mean by that? Well, do I really believe that Christ in me is the hope of glory? Do I really believe that he who is in me is greater than he who is against me? That the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in me. You see, it's reproducing Jesus in people. Not as somebody to imitate, but someone who's incubated himself in their bodies, in their spirits, so that they can live a transformed life. It's when the church begins to believe that, see that, and act like that. That's reproducing. That's the first question. The second one is, are we ministering as Jesus ministered? If the first question was, as he is, so are we in this world, the second one is, the things I've been doing, you will do an even greater things than these. Are we ministering as Jesus in the world? That means, are we walking in forgiveness? Are we walking in acceptance to people that are different to us? Are we seeing the kingdom? Or are we trying to engage heaven to break in people's lives? Are we saying, Jesus,
I want to see your purposes fulfilled on this earth. So those are the two emphases that come out of the teaching, out of a church, out of our reason for getting to Sunday, is to keep on affirming the central vision. Those two things are vital. So there's more to being a Christian than just staying out of hell. In the first model, the pastor's role is almost one of the professionals. So he's a kind of crisis-to-crisis facilitator. In this model, the model of training and equipping, the pastor's role is to train and equip. In the first model, when someone's sick in your family, you phone the pastor because he's the expert. But in this model, where the church is in training as a force, if you phone me because someone's sick in your family and I come and pray for them, I've just done you out of a job. And I haven't done my job very well, which is to equip you. What kind of church do you want to be part of? In other words, Sunday is not an event. Sunday is the day the church assembles to be established and equipped. Okay, now let's contrast again these two different pools, these two different churches, these two different models. The first one had goals, what Sunday should look like and what the purpose of Sunday is and how it operates. The second one had goals. The first one had weaknesses, institutionalism, professionalism, only so many chiefs and so many Indians. The event becomes everything, and the measurement of success is attendance, and people are held accountable for meetings to meetings to meetings, because that's the gauge. In this model, the measurement becomes slightly different, but it's also got some weaknesses. Let me give you a few. Sometimes the challenge, to use a different word, to the second model of church being a training force, is that some people actually prefer the old way. They preferred it when Sunday was the event. You know, I'm getting my money's worth now. You know, because there's an event that I'm going to attend. And if the event's not very good, I'll find another event that's better value. So how's the event on Sunday will determine whether they give it a 5 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. So some people actually prefer the old wineskin. The old wine is tastes better, the older, because it was an event that sort of met all their personal needs and the way it's always been done. You know, that's the last 8 words of a dying church. When something new happens and they say, it's never been done this way before. Those are the last 8 words of a dying church. It's never been done this way before. So that's the first weakness, is that some people won't see Sunday as a time of getting in the pool and doing laps. They want the spectacular of the event. The second weakness is that, well, before I give the second weakness, this contrast I'm making between these two pools, you could also use other analogies. You could use the metaphor of a dam versus a river. A dam is kind of retained. A river is dynamic. And in this model of church as a force, sometimes one of its weaknesses is that it's a bit unpredictable. Like a river is unpredictable. A river, if it bursts out the dam, it starts going, what's the first thing it does? It finds its own way. It carves its own banks. So there's some unpredictability about this type of model, about a river type of church. And then thirdly, a challenge in this regard is that sometimes the river might need earthworks to redirect it on certain corners. If it's clearly heading for a marshland or clearly heading for another dam and it needs to be diverted, sometimes you've got to bring in the earthworks. What I mean by that? Well, on the day of Pentecost, revival started, thousands got saved, but then the leaders had to stand up and say, guys, we've got to take care of tables. They just needed to divert the river a little bit. And that's all leadership really is to, from time to time, say, we just need to make sure the river doesn't become a swamp. But there's some unpredictability in that. I know what it's like to be the pastor of the church and arrive at a meeting, and there's a guest speaker, and I didn't even know he was going to be there. Now, I've got to learn to live with some unpredictability, but it's not always healthy if the leaders don't know someone's going to the pulpit and haven't had a chance to reference him or look at the churches he's already been at and watch the fruit, and it's, you know what I'm talking about. So as Mark Patterson will tell you, it's always good to first submit plans if you're going to do a building. He's an architect. So there's a balance here. There's on the one hand, there is this unpredictability that comes. It's a challenge. But then there's also this challenge of needing earthworks and a little bit of direction and lines of communication. And then maybe another weakness of this type of model is everyone with me? What kind of model I'm talking about now? Is that sometimes we can be a little bit insensitive to two visitors. So, on the one hand, if we're going to be a river, we've got to take that risk. If we're not going to be a vent, we've got to take that risk. But I think the Holy Spirit can still speak to us at times. By the way, Dave, after all the bad things I said about you, You listened well to the Holy Spirit this morning. You flowed well and you were sensitive. And that's great and we need that. We need a sensitivity in our exuberance and our freedom. If we're not going to be the church that's an event and everything has to be in certain boxes and it's all about what the facility looks like and that's where all the emphasis is and that's where all the measurement is on. You know, how well we did, how well it was attended, how many people put their hands up for the altar call. If we're not going to measure Sunday activity like that, but we're going to see Sunday as a place where people do the laps in the pool, grow in maturity, in their knowledge of who they are in Christ, so that they can go out and minister as Jesus in the world, it means that Sundays can get quite rowdy. And having said that, one of the weaknesses, challenges, is that we're not always sensitive to people who aren't at our level. I remember the old building when the church was in the corner over here, and we used to sit like that. My brother came to church with me and was sitting on the corner next to me here. And it was the days of the Jerusalem, and every time they came na na past him, they whipped the flag and it came to the corner of his eye. And so he was starting to flinch. He was standing there waiting for them. So when I asked him afterwards, how was church this morning? He was still flinching. It's not an easy one. That's why I say it's a challenge. Maybe not just a weakness. But let me tell you the benefit if this is the kind of church we want. If the kind of church we want is a training pool, not the event, then here's the thing. Wherever the river flows, there's going to be life. Wherever the river flows, and you that river, and when you flow out of here, you're teaching in schools, you're at a board meeting, you're selling to your customers, you're meeting with staff, you're changing babies' nappies, you're attending a school sports event, you're inviting your neighbor over for a meal. Wherever the river flows, there's life. And the measurement for success isn't did you get them to church on Sunday. The measurement for success is their life in that person. Are they starting to ask the right questions? Are they starting to see the ministry of Jesus? Are they starting to open up and get tender towards the gospel? Because here's the thing. When we do have an event, and I think we should have a few events from time to time. Don't get so excited here. I think we should have an event from time to time. But now the event is not to entertain the over-entertained. Now the event is a meaningful engagement with people who aren't churchgoers. And I think there's a way to do that. And there's the right opportunities that people that are that won't say no to as easily. If, you know, if I invite my neighbor to a Grace and Glory conference, he's not getting too excited. My unsaved neighbor. Grace and what? But if I tell him, my kids are being baptized, and it's a very special event for us, and we are inviting a few friends and people we know to come and be part of that, and we have a little play that describes what baptism is about, and we focus the singing that Sunday around three hymns and a her, and we kind of hold back a little bit on our frivolity and exuberance just for that Sunday. That's why we can only do that maybe once or twice a year. But now we're not entertaining the over-entertained. We're reaching out meaningfully. You see, if we get the right picture of what the church is, and we start seeing that the Gala Pool church as an event, we're going to reach the world, it's hard work. The event, Sunday, let me just say that again. Sunday event to event to event is hard work. I know. I burnt out. I know what that's like week by week, trying to outdo the previous week. Trying to be, you know, get with the latest fad in the new season and do the new thing the best way and outdo last Sunday's performance. You do that for 50 weeks in a row. And you too could kill yourself. So the gala event is hard work. The training pool, on the other hand, is satisfying work. It's still work, but you know why it's satisfying? Because now the whole body are doing what they've been called to do. You as a joint, you as a ligament, you as a member, you as a finger, a hand, a toe. Suddenly, because the whole body has been equipped, exercised, and released, it's satisfying work. Because now, you know, honestly, I can say with all my heart, and I've gone a bit over this morning, it was Bill Brain's fault. Honestly, coming to church this morning, I felt no stress at all. You know why I felt no stress? Because I was coming to be with a bunch of friends who love Jesus, who want to worship Him, who I could remind about what church they want to be part of. What? Okay, I get occasionally thrown and I don't have words to come back. So thank you for every part of this body that does their part. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the helpers. Thank you for the ushers. Thank you for the sound guy. Sound guy, you never get any fame, but you're the man. Thank you for the welcomers. Thank you for Zama, chief of security. Thank you for the children's workers next door. Thank you for every part that makes Sunday a place where people can just come enjoy God. But this is not the event. The event begins when you walk out that door, which you're about to do right now. Can we stand up together? Father, thank you for this house. Thank you for this family. Thank you that as we go today, we are released. The same Holy Spirit that was in our midst this morning is the same Holy Spirit that's going to be with us when we wake up tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Holy Spirit, it's so good to have you in our lives. It's so good to have your leading, your directing. Holy Spirit, thank you for your breathing on us this morning. Your body is feeling good. Your body is feeling exercised. Your body took a deep breath this morning and is feeling revived and revitalized. And Holy Spirit, your body, the body of Jesus Christ is alive and well in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And we pray, Father, for the life of Jesus to be ministered wherever we go. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And God bless.